Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live this morning from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. And right now, the Philadelphia Youth Camp is just about concluded. I was actually driving over here to the radio studio and was surprised to see how full of people the soccer field was. Forgot about the All-Star Games taking place today. So a lot of activity going out on here on campus. Well, today we're going to cover the booklet Colossians. This is written by Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Fleury. You can find it for free at thetrumpet.com and later in the show notes once this is posted as a podcast. Chapter 1 of this booklet is titled First Century Parallels, and it gives us some background on the book of Colossians, which was written by the Apostle Paul around 60 AD. The book of Colossians discusses two groups of people, the Colossians and the Laodiceans. On page 1 of the booklet, Mr. Fleury writes, "The Colossians heeded the warning, the Laodiceans did not. This book can help us see how to remain faithfully Philadelphian." So obviously, the book of Colossians in the Bible, as well as this Colossians booklet, are valuable resources to us as we try to hold fast to God's truth. I've always actually had a special affinity for this Colossians booklet because it gives a lot of detailed and numerous parallels in all three chapters of the booklet between the first century church and today. And it gets really specific, and we'll see a little bit more of that later. As you will also see, the problems in God's church back in the first century and also today parallel the problems in our society. Satan always attacks from within and from the very top, if at all possible. He has used this tactic repeatedly against God's church and against worldly nations. In the worldwide church of God, he took control of the top leader, 99% of the ministers, and 95% of the members, all after Mr. Armstrong died in 1986. The books of Colossians and Revelation are the only two biblical books mentioning the Laodiceans. This is the group, again, that did not heed the warning message. This is the group that fell asleep spiritually. Colossians is the warning. Revelation is the outcome. Revelation shows that the Laodiceans didn't listen. Revelation 3 verse 17 states, "Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." So the Laodiceans, God's rebellious people both in the first century and today, became obsessed with physical wealth. The ancient city of Laodicea was a prosperous center of commerce and banking. This constant drive to obtain physical things rubbed off on God's people back then. In this end time, the leaders who took over the WCG after Mr. Armstrong died hoarded for themselves $200 million of annual income and properties worth another $100 million. So again, you see the parallel. Becoming materialistic and selfish 2,000 years ago and today. Colossians 1 verse 23 says, "If you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel." So this is showing us how to hold fast to God's truth, even while everyone around us is getting sidetracked, is becoming materialistic and selfish. And there is a specific action step here discussed in the Colossians booklet, and that is to repeatedly study the incredible human potential and mystery of the ages. That is the advice Mr. Fleury gives to us to help us stay grounded and settled, to help us avoid distractions from spiritual truth, to help us keep the hope of the gospel. That hope of the gospel is all about the good news of the coming kingdom of God, which is also the family of God. This is the hope that we need. This is the vision that must be ingrained in our minds. And this is also the vision that the Laodiceans have lost. There are several specific ways that Satan has stolen the hope of the gospel from the Laodiceans. One way is he introduced confusion about the kingdom of God. He made the Laodiceans think that God's kingdom is already on the earth today. Never mind Daniel 2 verses 44 through 45, which shows that God's kingdom is supposed to come after four world ruling kingdoms of men, smash those kingdoms, and then establish spiritual rule. It is not a kingdom that coexists on earth with physical kingdoms. Satan also elevated Christ as the central figure of the gospel, ahead of God the Father. Never mind John 14, verse 28, which states, "My Father is greater than I." That is Christ speaking. Christ himself, numerous times, said that he wasn't on the level of his Father. He wasn't in the spiritual office that his Father had. Satan also replaced the concept of spiritual birth with adoption. Never mind Romans 8, verse 29, where Christ says, or where Christ is called the firstborn among many brethren, meaning that many more will be born spiritually like he was after his resurrection. Never mind Psalm 82, verse 6, which directly states, "You are gods." That is a plain statement of fact, and yet it is deemed blasphemous by the Laodiceans. This idea of replacing spiritual birth with adoption to deceive God's people destroys the beautiful parallels between physical and spiritual marriage, birth, and family. Satan hates the gospel of the kingdom of God because it's all about family. Even before his rebellion, he never had the potential to be God's son. He is jealous of you. You listening right now, he is jealous that you have the opportunity to be a born son of God. Chapter 2 of this Colossians booklet is titled, "The Mystery of God." And Colossians 1 verse 26 states, "Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." On page 10 of the booklet, Mr. Fleury points out that Mr. Armstrong knew he wasn't the one writing his book, Mystery of the Ages. Mystery of the Ages was the greatest book Mr. Armstrong ever produced, but he knew that God wrote that book through him. Mr. Armstrong knew he was just the tool for writing that book, and that the wisdom in Mystery of the Ages actually comes from beyond the stars. It comes from the universe, the throne of the universe. Colossians, the booklet, page 12, states, "Your attitude toward Mystery of the Ages reveals a great deal about your conversion. It reveals a lot about you." It's our responsibility to devour and digest this truth and then share it with the Laodiceans and the world. What good would it do if we just sat on it? Mystery of the Ages is a book that covers all the most important subjects in the spiritual and physical realms. It explains the truth about God and Christ, the angels, Satan, demons, individual humans, human civilization, God's one chosen nation, Israel, God's one true church, and God's kingdom. Mystery of the Ages unlocks understanding of the past, present, and future. This is a book that should be the prism through which we view our world. And God expects us to fight for this truth. He doesn't want us to have an attitude where we could take it or leave it, as Mr. Fleury writes. Colossians 1 verse 28 says, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." So from this scripture, we can glean that every individual has an opportunity to hear and obey God. And again, it doesn't matter what everyone else around us is doing. It doesn't matter what everyone else around us believes or what they think of us. Every one of us has the opportunity to step out and stand up for God. This verse, Colossians 1 verse 28, also reveals the order of God's work. As the Colossians booklet shows on pages 13 and 14, the order of the work is to preach, then warn, then teach. Now, Mr. Armstrong has already preached the gospel around the world. That's the fulfillment of a prophecy in Matthew 24 and verse 14. Right now, Mr. Fleury is warning the world with the backing of the Philadelphia Church of God. And in the world tomorrow, we will teach the whole world once they have finally been corrected and are willing to obey God. Obey. That word that so many people hate today. Obey. And if people would just do that, they would finally find happiness. So Colossians 1 verse 28 shows the order of God's work. Preach, which Mr. Armstrong did. Warn, which we're doing right now. And teach, which we'll be doing in the future. It gives us a pretty easy blueprint to follow. Colossians, the booklet, pages 15 and 16 says, "The mystery is man becoming God, sons in the very family of God. The mystery is Christ in you, which leads to being born into God's family. That is the gospel, the good news of the coming family or kingdom of God." How could we ever lose this vision? Well, chapter 3 of the Colossians booklet explains. Chapter 3 is titled Worldly Scholarship. Satan has overthrown God's church in the first century and in this end time. He used the same strategy each time, attacking from within and from the very top, causing God's own people to cherish physical wealth over spiritual riches and reject the God family gospel. But how? How could people who were once so inspired by God's truth, who followed God steadfastly for decades, in many cases, just throw it all away? Something monumentally damaging must have happened to the minds of God's rebellious people. The same thing has also happened to millions of people in our society today. Back on January 28th, Mr. Stephen Fleury delivered a Trumpet Daily radio show titled "Surcharging the Air with Hatred, Jealousy, Strife, and Self-Centeredness." This is clip one.
Hitler said, "A new age of magic interpretation of the world is coming, of interpretation in terms of the will and not of the intelligence." In other words, facts. Facts won't matter. What matters is will. What matters is imposing your will. We don't want future generations or future administrations coming along and changing this back. This is the law. This is now imposed on the people of New York. There is no changing this, so said New York's governor. And so now New Yorkers can cheer because they're fellow New Yorkers. They can go in. If it's not working right for the mother, and if the so-called healthcare professional decides that it would be better to go ahead and kill the baby at 37 weeks, we'll go ahead. It's lawful. That's legal. That's passed the New York legislation or the legislature. It's been signed by the governor. It's will worship, as Colossians 2 brings out. The worshiping of demons, as it should read, there in Colossians 2:18. It all has a show of wisdom. In fact, it's will worship. My father said that's exactly what Hitler was talking about. But on another level, magic interpretation in terms of the will. He said, look, this is what it's all about. Your reasoning isn't going to stop us. That doesn't mean anything to us. We follow this magic interpretation today. Don't tell us it's right or wrong. Don't talk about absolute truth. Don't talk about God's law. We follow this magic interpretation. And as my father says, will worship, it just boils down to worshiping demons. This is the age that Hitler wanted to bring about. This is the world Satan wants. And he, if you look around at the world today, he has it. He has it. People in this world today, they're not looking to the Bible. They're not looking to God for answers. They're not looking to God for instruction. They're not seeking guidance. This is the only way, it says over and again in the scriptures. If you don't follow the path that's lit up by the Holy Bible, then you are just going to descend into darkness, spiritually speaking.
So that was the Trumpet Daily Radio Show from January 28th, Mr. Stephen Fleury speaking there. Colossians 2 verse 8 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." And then Colossians 2 verse 23 mentions will worship, like was discussed in that audio clip. No facts, no logic, no reason, no evidence, no proof. Just believe it because we said it. You see that in society today, and it happened in God's church 30 years ago and 2,000 years ago. The Worldwide Church of God, after Herbert W. Armstrong, taught that we need special training or expertise to understand theology and philosophy. Colossians page 19, right, states, this is the booklet, Mr. Fleury writing on page 19, Then the WCG leaders instructed people to look to their scholars. They would have you believe the laymen are just too incompetent to grasp such issues. Talk about brainwashing. People accuse God's church of brainwashing. But it's not brainwashing until it goes off track. Think about how this applies to society. Climate change proponents say, you aren't a scientist. You have no idea what you're talking about because you're not a scientist. Abortion advocates say, you aren't a doctor. So you have no idea about simple biological facts. It's almost like they think we're illiterate and we can't look at the evidence, look at the facts, and make a reasoned conclusion. What did Mr. Armstrong say? What does Mr. Fleury continue to say to this day? Don't believe me, believe your Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 21 says, prove all things. It's not about looking to one person who is supposedly an expert and letting them tell you what to think. You have to look into it for yourself. The radical left today doesn't want anyone to do that. The Worldwide Church of God said about Mr. Armstrong's book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, are we sure this is really prophecy? Or maybe it could just be speculation. See how they got into philosophy? Philosophers sit around all day speculating and debating and theorizing. They never come to a definitive conclusion. They don't believe in absolute truth. A former president of Ambassador College under Mr. Armstrong years later said that there was an anti-educational bias in God's college and God's church. Notice how he waited until years after Mr. Armstrong was gone to make that accusation. He waited until years after Mr. Armstrong died and finally said, oh, well, we all know there was an anti-educational bias in the college. He didn't dare say that when Mr. Armstrong was around. The WCG also talked about Mr. Armstrong's supposed deathbed repentance. Here's what Mr. Fleury writes about that in the Colossians booklet on page 23. Would God allow such a farce, which nobody could ever prove or disprove? It's inconsistent with God's word. It's a ploy of Satan. Now, you see that in society all the time now. People make accusations that can never be proven or disproven. Accusers of the president come forward decades after the fact. They make accusations that are impossible to prove. So you see how powerful Satan is to do the exact same thing in our nation as he has done in the church multiple times. Using the exact same strategy over and over and over again because it always works. God's rebellious people have been assaulted and overwhelmed by Satan and his demons. The same is true of the radical left. Their minds are in a stranglehold. You can't reason with these people. They cannot look at facts and come to a logical conclusion. They cannot articulate their beliefs. All they can do is scream at people who disagree with them. And they slander people to the extreme. On page 26 of the Colossians booklet, Mr. Fleury writes, the Laodiceans are destroyers. What did the Laodiceans ever build? What did they ever do after Mr. Armstrong died in 1986? Did they produce anything? Or did they tear everything down and keep the money? What about the radical left? Do they not want to tear down historical statues, rewrite history, and remove all respect for tradition and common national values? Satan always attacks from within because it always works. But through it all, God admonishes his loyal remnant to hear his voice and hold fast to his truth. Even when everyone around you has descended into insanity, you individually can fight for God and make a dramatic difference in his work. Thanks for listening today. Just a reminder that on Monday at 11:30 a.m. Central Time on Behind the Work, I'll be interviewing David Vigil, who is the host of a new KPCG radio program titled Rewind Repeat. So be sure to listen for that. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.